Greetings and welcome to another edition of Soundography. Soundography is a crash course in music, one band at a time. My name is Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And we have a special guest. It's our first return special guest, actually, because he is the super patron. I'm going to coin that term right now. I'm going to call him super patron officially. So welcome, super patron. He's previously been a backer of another episode of Soundography. We'll talk about that as well. But welcome back to the show, returning sponsor, Peter Emig. Emig? Emig? Emig?
Emig. Emig.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
Hey, you always get it right, but you've always been concerned.
Did I always get it right and then I always second-guess myself? Is that what I do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Far Peter better than having Scott do it, though.
Oh, geez, yeah. Emigol McCuddy. Always adds like extra syllables in there. Welcome back, Peter. It's good to have you back on here.
It's good to be back.
And previously, you were a sponsor for which episode?
The Deer Hunter.
That's right. Yes, I was testing you to see if you even listen to our show, but you do apparently. You heard that episode.
Well, it makes me smile every time you bring them up while making a reference to a different band.
I just say, sure.
I made this happen.
You did. You totally did. And it was, it's always a cool thing when someone recommends something to you. And you listen to it and you end up liking it, you know, it becomes part of your library or part of your experience. There's always times that somebody says, oh, you know what you need to do is check out the latest Nickelback album. And you'll be like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll do that as soon as I get a chance. Or maybe you do even listen to it and you say, yeah, this ain't for me. And then they ask you about it later and you're like, oh, yeah, it's all right. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that totally happens all the time where someone will say something along the lines of, hey, check out fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And then when I get to finally have the time to fill in the blank, I feel like that's, 5-7 minutes of my life I'm never getting back. And then I have another 5 to 7 minutes of my life I'm never getting back when I have to try to gently let them down that it wasn't my cup of tea.
Exactly. That is tough. But that was absolutely not the case with Deer Hunter. Hammond and I both enjoyed it tremendously. And thank you, Peter, for letting us know about them. Now, this next one that you are recommending to us now is actually one that I'm familiar with, but not on a tremendous level, but at least I can identify, I don't know, one or two of his songs before we even do the show. And would you like to tell us who you're having us cover?
I'm having you cover David Wilcox.
Good, because that's what it says in my notes here as well.
Also, we're not to be confused with Canadian blues guitar player David Wilcox.
That's right. I know there are multiple David Wilcox. I think that's the plural of Wilcox.
What's the plural of Phoenix?
I think it's Coxix, actually. David
Wilcox. David Wilcox. He sits down on every time he performs. There are multiple David Wilcoxes, we found out.
Coxon?
Canadian blues. Coxon? there's a Canadian blues artist named David Wilcox, but we're talking about the American blues folk artist David Wilcox.
Which is good, because I've already finished the show notes and about halfway through his catalog, and if you'd flipped it on me, I think I would have blown a gasket.
Right. So this is really cool. And, you know, like I was telling, or like I was saying at the beginning of the show, it's somebody that I'm familiar with, but only a couple songs. This is kind of where we want people to be when they listen to an episode of Soundography. We want them to be maybe aware of the name of the band. Maybe they even know one song, but largely unfamiliar with the library of the body of work. So I'm coming into this kind of in the same place that I want our listeners to come into this. What made you suggest David Wilcox?
Well, I did look at what you had planned, and mm-hmm. I saw that there was a glaring omission in folk music in general.
Sure. Was Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young like the I was going to say the latest, but is that the only? No, I guess
the band maybe a little
the
bit.
The band,
too.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But yep. nothing like David.
Right. And this is more modern too than the band or CSNY. I mean, much more recent stuff, 80s, 90s, continuing on, current stuff. So this is great.
And from what I've learned, he has an album coming out next spring. So he's still at it.
He is. Yeah. What's your favorite memory associated with David Wilcox? What have you seen him in concert or?
I have seen him in concert, but it was in the early 90s and I was, I don't know, probably 8 or 9.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it was an interesting show because it was like it was kind of a bluegrassy festival thing. And he had played part of a set. And then my dad said, okay, well, I'm going to go talk to David Wilcox now. And like I grew up listening to David Wilcox and the Indigo Girls and Lona Navarro and,
sure,
you know, Simon and Garfunkel, like a lot of folk music. And so he didn't seem like a real person. Especially right. When you're 9, it's like, he's actually talking to the guy who made that song that I listened to.
The guy who was up on stage just a minute ago. Wow, that's cool. So your dad, big folk music fan, obviously, kind of the one who got you into all those bands.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Folk came from my dad. Prog came from my mother.
Wow. I was going to say, it's quite a difference between David Wilcox and Deer Hunter.
But it's not really, because there's storytelling and it's pensive and there's some similarities. There's some tapestry strings you can pull, because as I'm starting to listen to David Wilcox, I found myself feeling like, hey, he could cover fill in the blanks, which I'm not going to say.
Mm-hmm. Not until later.
That's right.
But no, yeah, okay. There's like the point where the two kind of mix together, and you can look at Fairport Convention's Lesion Leaf, which is really long songs, really expert guitar playing, and Jethro Tull's Songs from the Wood, which is practically a folk album. So I don't think it's that weird either.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll reserve my judgment. Plus,
I mean, really, folk music is just prog music minus the Hammond organ.
This is great, because
that'll make sense in about a week.
Exactly. You'll have to let us know once you get that joke in about a week. Once you listen to the Spock Spirit episode, wow, everybody's finding out the gap between when we record and when we post. It's amazing. Cool. Do you have a favorite song by David?
Yes, I would pick Show the Way from Big Horizon, probably as my favorite song. Then Eye of the Hurricane.
Yeah. See, and that's the song that I'm the most familiar with. And it's, I don't know, it's so many levels, right? That song. And I might be reading too much into it, but I always feel like they're talking about more than just a motorcycle. And maybe I already know that. Maybe that's something that I heard him explain in an interview or something. Man,
well, when you get to the live, when you get to the live stories, he explains a lot of the poetry in the songs, like the deeper meaning.
That's right.
He goes hard into it.
Yeah, and I just listened to oh my gosh, you just said the name. But the Hardware Place. No, the Hardware.
East Asheville Hardware.
Yes, East Asheville. And he tells a really funny story about the song Mango before he sings it. And now I have a whole different appreciation for Mango, even though I'd never heard it before. So hey. Way to go, David. Cool.
Very cool. Well, definitely looking forward to this. Now, what's also really cool about this is I've only barely started listening to his music for the show. Hammond is most of the way through it. But do you have anything that you want us to know going into this episode, or even more so, anything that you want listeners to know going into this episode?
There's a period of time where he gets the production gets, you know, the amount of people that he has hits a critical mass, and you know, some of the songs are, I think, are hurt by having additional backup singers and additional instrumentation. But then he kind of goes back to just being him and the guitar. And it's another reason to really like the live albums that he puts out better, because it's always just him and the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find a song that you really, that you like the words to, but aren't sure about the way that it's
the arrangement.
Yeah. Then you can usually find a much better one. That's just him and the guitar. And it's so much more personal.
That's cool. Like a stripped down live version. Excellent. I'm looking forward to that as well. Awesome. Well, then, once again, I want to thank you, Peter, for not just, you know, letting us know about David Wilcox, but being such a great supporter of the show, your listenership, and of course, your patronage. We're coining so many new terms on this episode of Soundography. But this
super
is great.
Patronage.
Your super patron. Oh, so, that's right. You know, I coined the term at the beginning and I didn't even follow through in using it. Slap my wrists. Your super patronage.
So I'm glad we're using patron and so we're not calling a super drip.
Oh, geez. No kidding. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard, Peter, but Kickstarter introduced their competitor to Patreon called Drip.
Oh.
Exactly. That was my response as well. I think that was the collective internet response to that name is, ugh. That's something you want to have cleared up. But anyway, thank you for your support. Thank you for recommending David Wilcox. And here we go. We're going to get right into the show. Without any further ado, here is that episode of Soundography featuring David Wilcox. And welcome to another edition of Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And if I'm sounding a little bit more, I don't know, relaxed, maybe demure, folksy, it's because it's appropriate for today's artist. It's not a band, it's an artist. And as you heard at the top of the show there, our discussion with Peter, the artist in question is Mr. David Wilcox.
I'm really excited about this one. I like folk music more than I probably let on. When I was in college, there was a guy named Kim Simpson whose dad ran the jazz program at BYU. And now he lives in Austin. And he's a singer-songwriter out there. And I love Kim's stuff. His first few albums are amazing. And I kept kind of reminiscing and drifting back to that while I was listening to this. And yeah. I was in a great mood.
Yeah, it's funny how you've got a connection too. I was thinking Mark Cohn a lot while I was listening to this. We'll talk about the connection names, James Taylor, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of I don't know. There were a lot of bands or singers around the time of like the late 80s, early 90s that had that folk sound, and it's just natural to kind of gravitate towards thinking about those when you start listening to David Wilcox's music, because it's so folksy. It's funny too, because the only song I'd ever heard of his, I realized, and I thought I knew way more of his music. No, that's not true. And I'm gonna backtrack on all that. The only song I thought I knew by him was Eye of the Hurricane, and of course I'd forgotten about the covers he's done. I forgot about a couple of his kind of his the songs between when he started and now. I don't want to say like the middle of his career, because he still has a career. He's still going.
He's got an album coming out this spring.
Yeah, so we can't really talk about the end of his career, the beginning, or we can talk about the beginning, but the middle of his career, because who knows when the middle is going to be, because we don't know when the end is.
That's so, right. He's still climbing that mountain.
He is, exactly. Let's get to this. David Patrick Wilcox was born 1958. American folk musician, singer, songwriter that has been active in the music business since the late 80s. Sometimes he gets confused with Canadian rock and blues guitarist of the same name. There's another David Wilcox out there who's a Canadian rock and blues guitarist. If you're tuning into this show to find out about that guy, sorry, but you should stick around and learn about this David Wilcox because he's also good.
E? And maybe at some point we'll tackle the other one.
Maybe, exactly. pull all your money and start putting it together, and we'll do the other David Wilcox, eh? Anyway, in 1985, after college, David started playing in a North Carolina club called McDibs,
which I'm sure they served ribs.
McDibs ribs? They had to have, right? I mean, it's a North Carolina club, so you've got the whole barbecue angle there, and then it's called McDibs, so sure. Do you think they had a McDibs rib deluxe?
Maybe. Maybe they get the cold side cold and the hot side hot.
That would be their sister place, McDilts. Anyway, 1987, David released the album The Night Shift Watchman. It was released on Jerry Reed Smith's Song of the Woods label. It was reissued back in 1996. And after that album, he started touring regularly. He signed with A&M a couple years later in 1989. And while he was with A&M, he released several albums that were called by Rolling Stone as unjustly neglected.
And I don't think truer words have ever been said by the Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah, that's a good point. The fact that so many of these songs and so many of these albums are great from start to finish, it is surprising that they aren't more well known, that David's music isn't more well known.
And I'm not saying, and I, maybe I'm just again in the wrong circle, but after doing the research, it seems as if lots and lots of people know who this guy is. And I feel bad that I don't know more about him or didn't know more about him.
Well, I thought I knew more about him too. And then if you would have pressed me when I said, oh, we should totally do David Wilcox, when Peter suggested it, if you would have pressed me to come up with more than one song, it would have been Eye of the Hurricane and then that's it. And so I think he's an artist that a lot of people know for at least one song, maybe more. But once you start listening to his stuff, you realize, oh, my God, people really need to. He is somebody that people should know more about because he's really, really good. He's been called a mix of James Taylor and Nick Drake. Nick Drake, great combo comparison there. He extensively uses open tuning on his guitar in combination with customized capos. I thought so. I'm not a guitar player. That allow the lower strings to ring open.
So this is brilliant. And so Michael Hedges is the guy who I learned about open tunings from. Right. And so what it is you create, instead of tuning the guitar strings normally, you tune them differently. That way, when you strum it, you're creating a different chord. So you have a different starting place as a musician.
And to be clear, is that chord? So basically, when you strum it without holding down any of the frets, you get an actual chord that is the basis of your song.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so what he's doing then is he adds capos and he's notched out the capo on the lower end on the register.
Oh, wow.
So they continue to play no matter where the capo is, creating a unique sound dynamic, because when something's capoed, it raises everything up.
And right. But if you have a couple that aren't being managed by that capo, you got some good low strings and then good high strings as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea and a great way of looking at shaping music for your unique style.
I've never heard of that, but it totally makes sense. And I'm surprised I hadn't heard of that, because it seems like such an easy thing to do with those capos. It's just like, all right, cut a notch in it so that this string isn't affected by it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Totally brilliant. He released How Did You Find Me Here in 1989. It sold over 100,000 copies just by word of mouth alone. And as we mentioned earlier, his most famous song, Eye of the Hurricane, comes from this album. I really, really wanted to include Eye of the Hurricane in my playlist. I love that song. And there isn't a time that I listen to that song that I don't just have this vision of the lyrics in my head of, this woman on this motorcycle trying to dodge through a couple of trucks that are kind of closing the gap and then getting in an accident. And it just, it's such a heartbreaking story. And I know that the motorcycle crash, that story is kind of just the just the frosting, basically, and that the cake is more about the deeper levels of love and addiction and maybe even drugs and that sort of thing. But mm-hmm. addiction, whether it's an addiction to speed, addiction to drugs, or addiction to romance or love. I love that song.
Love it.
Well, and I'm sure I'll get clips of it will be played either here or later in the show. So,
sure, yeah. Exactly. So people hear it then or yeah. now. Don't know. 1991, he released the album Home Again, included the song Wild Berry Pie.
Great song. Great song.
Absolutely great song. Yep. In 1991, the label also released a 6-song CD, mostly live, an authorized bootleg. So kind of like what we were talking about, the Rhino High Fives a few shows ago, where the label wants to get out, you know, maybe there's not an album coming out right away and they really want to get some attention for this artist. So it's like a hey, here are 5 of their best songs or 6 of their best songs. Or in this case, here's a 6-song live thing. And man, let me tell you, and we'll talk about this also coming up in a little bit, but David Wilcox's live stuff, this is a performer that knows how to engage the audience. He knows how to tell stories mm-hmm. to the audience. Like, I feel like he'd be a musician that even if he's not your favorite musician, seeing him in concert, seeing him live would probably turn you around and turn you into a huge fan of his.
I would love to see him do a show with Todd Schneider.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
And then they each perform a little bit, and then at the end they come out and do things together and play off each other humorously and whatever. I think that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Good. Another good comparison there. In 1994, he released the album Big Horizon. It was number 165 on the Billboard Top 200.
Okay. So hang on. Let's think about that for a second, because 1994 was grunge heyday time.
Right in the middle of grunge. Yeah.
And exactly. So grunge was at the top, and then you had this dance stuff in the bottom of the charts and kind of interspersed, and rock was still around. So the fact that this album hit 165, that says an awful lot that a folk album was able to register in the top 200 in 1994.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. I thought you were going to say, man, you know, not getting any higher, but really when you think about what else was out there at the time, dancey stuff, grunge, a lot of R&B. R&B was, mm-hmm.
It was a very angsty period of time for music. And he is very not angsty.
He's kind of he's kind of the antidote to most of that stuff, mm-hmm. right?
Really
it's like if you don't want the anger and the angst of the grunge, you don't want the droning repetition of the dance music. He's like the perfect antidote to all that. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And just as a reminder, Big Horizon contained Show the Way, which was Peter's favorite song.
Someone wrote a play just to glorify what's stronger than hate. Would they not arrange the stage to look as if the hero came to
That's right. Yep. Top of the show there. In 1994, after his contract with A&M was done, he continued to write and release music. 1996 saw the release of East Asheville Hardware, Wilcox's first album after being dropped by A&M, featured live recordings of previously unreleased tunes, including a cover of Chuck Brodsky's satirical song, Blow 'Em Away.
This album is probably my favorite thing of his I listened to.
I agree. I agree completely. This is where it comes out that if you want to see David Wilcox live, you're in for a very cool, very, very funny experience.
And frankly, I think this might be the album that I would suggest we link to.
I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, it's just such a a difference, a breath of fresh air from other live albums. It feels intimate. It feels like there's a crowd, but there's not a massive crowd. I mean, I guess this was recorded in front of a North Carolina hardware store.
I would assume so by the name.
So. And he even, you know, does a little bit of an homage to the hardware store in one of the songs. But some other songs on there, Boob Job.
Mango almost made my list.
Doesn't that really suck when you love
know, the aforementioned Blow 'Em Away. Johnny's Camaro is such a great song.
Yep.
These are all such great songs. And it's funny because you look through the list and there isn't a lot of stuff from the previous albums. It's not like he's touring to promote Eye of the Hurricane or even, you know, the rest of How Did You Find Me Here, that sort of thing. You know, maybe there's a couple songs. I'm trying to look and see if he even has Leave It Like It Is on there or any of that. And he doesn't. It's all, from what I can tell, it's all new stuff, all stuff that he hasn't released on a previous album. And, but it sounds like, you know, one of the parts that he talks about is before the song, After Your Orgasm, he's talking about, well, here's a song that, you know, people wrote and complained to me that, what am I doing these family unfriendly songs and da, 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 da. So here's my song After Your Orgasm. It's really funny.
Well, and it's funny because he says, I write about things I like and,
right. And I like sex. It's great stuff. Yeah. So that is a great introduction to his music, even though it doesn't include what is easily his most famous song. And yeah. It's really funny. Mm-hmm. And it's almost a bummer that he doesn't include that because I imagine he would, well, what am I saying? Hold on a second. He does include Eye of the Hurricane on there, but it's a way different version and it's tucked in after Golden Day, which is the last song on the album. It's like a hidden track and it's Eye of the Hurricane done in a completely different version, like a different style.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about his sense of humor.
Right here.
1997, he recorded the album Turning Point, which was recorded in a log cabin behind his home.
So that's an interesting thing to do. Log cabins aren't typically quiet places and not known for their acoustic values.
No, but we don't know if he's like turned it into a studio.
Yes, it's true. But I think of what Jed Clampett was living in before he went hunting.
Or, you know, what they spend time in the Hateful Eight. It's yes. Not a great place to record music. But yeah, I mean, imagine that's what you do. If you don't have room in your house for a studio, or at least maybe not the studio you want, if you've got a building out back, or you can make a building out back like a log cabin and then customize the inside to all that. You know, logs are super thick. And if you've got enough insulation, then that outside sound is going to be really well blocked out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In 1998, David Wilcox said, "Music is all about the different kinds of feelings we can have. We can be scared. We can be angry. We can be hopeful. We can be sad. We can be all these things and have company in it. Music is sacred ground, and it shouldn't be reduced to that kind of simplified demographic target marketing."
And after great reading book. The books that I've been reading about pop music, he could yeah. not be more correct.
Yeah, for sure. Totally, totally true. So from now on, Hammond, we're not going to say this is a electronic new wave band from the 80s. We're going to say this is a, you know, we're not going to simplify it down to any sort of demographic target marketing. This yep. is a band.
Yep.
This is an artist. In 1999, he released the album Underneath. It's good. 2000, next year, he released What You Whispered.
And Guitar Shopping is one of the coolest songs I've heard in ages.
This one sold the first time I was 17. Of course, back then I didn't want it. It was way too new for me. I needed something old and righteous with its own authority. So the first guitar I ever bought was twice as old as me.
It's such a great song.
Yeah, it not enough to make it on my playlist, but enough that I'm glad you called it out because it is a really good song. It was one that piqued my interest when it came up. In 2001, they released The Very Best of David Wilcox. Had a lot of stuff that we've mentioned on there. Some live stuff. Johnny's Camaro makes his appearance there. And, of course, Eye of the Hurricane, Leave It Like It Is, etc. The next year, Live Songs and Stories was released. As you can guess from that, a live album.
Mm-hmm. And then and stories. That,
and stories.
It's well, like, it's stories very clear. It's, live album. It's very clearly told in the title what you're getting.
Exactly. You're going to get live songs and you're going to get stories in between them that help explain the live songs. In 2003, he released the album Into the Mystery,
which we have very little information on because it's mysterious.
It's a mysterious album. In 2005, he released a duet album called Out Beyond Ideas. This was a joint project with his wife named Nancy Petit. And this was, I believe, a charity album. Yep, benefiting partners in conflict and partners in peace building. Songs for Peace Project with his wife, Nancy Petit. It was called a significant diversion from his regular work. It featured a lot of sacred poetry set to music, and it reached number 28 on the folk charts. Nance has a beautiful voice, a very complimentary voice to his. And so it's a great combo. And usually you see these kind of vanity projects where, or nepotism where somebody brings in a wife or a relative or something like that for something like this. And it's like, okay, yeah, let's go back to the stuff where you're solo. Cause it's a lot better. She's great. She's got a great voice.
I kind of wish they did more stuff together. Cause I love their voices together.
I did too. I was surprised they didn't after this. After that, he and his family traveled the country in an Airstream trailer and a biodiesel truck. He actually named an album after the trailer called Airstream in 2008. You can see it in a photo on the cover, and then released an album called Vista in 2006.
And Vista reached number 14 on the folk charts. I mean, again, he's getting people know who this guy is. I feel like I've really missed a boat as a fan of music.
Well, then you and I both have, right? Because, again, you know, having a memory of what I thought I knew about David Wilcox, far less being what it turned out to be in actuality. And so I think it's just that we weren't in the circles where his music was very popular, the folk charts. We weren't keeping up on that. And if we were, then we'd be much more aware of him. Yeah. There's a station here in Colorado, a Boulder station called KBCO, that that's where I remember hearing a lot of David Wilcox. And he'd even come in studio. They had a Studio C where people would perform live, and he would appear in studio and do live versions of the songs. And I even remember that he would do stories before those songs too, before he played them.
I wish more artists would do that, but I say that very tentatively because I wouldn't want I love to hear the stories of how songs came about. But there are certain artists and certain genres of music where it might not work as well.
Right, right.
And I'm not going to call anything out because I don't want to offend anybody, but there are certain genres of music that the stories wouldn't work out as well.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't think of... I'd be interested to hear the genesis of some heavy metal stuff. I mean, I'd be interested to hear the genesis of some rap songs. Like, what made you guys decide to rap, you know, about this? And that sort of thing. There's probably in every genre, there's probably a story that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hopefully more than one story that's interesting in each genre of music, but I'm fascinated by that kind of stuff. So bring it on. Definitely. We mentioned Airstream, which came out in 2008. By the way, that one reached number 20 on the folk charts. The next year, Open Hand was released. It was produced by Dan Phelps. Phelps joined David, John Evans on bass, and James McAllister on drums. There was a lot more arrangement on that album than he had before. And that album got all the way up to number 3 on the folk charts.
Yeah. Deservedly so.
By the way, do you pronounce the L at all, or do you say folk or folk?
I'm a folk guy.
Yeah, me too.
Folk is what you eat dinner with.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Very good. All right. In 2010, they released the album Reverie, which reached number 30 on the folk radio charts, kind of back down to a more stripped down arrangement. It was back to being more David Wilcox and a guitar.
And oddly enough, I enjoyed the transition, listening to it straight through like I did. You could hear the kind of the larger, more arranged songs of Open Hand. And then you went back to this kind of one man guitar and a microphone sound. And it was actually a nice, it's like, oh yeah, I like this.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. The next year, 2011, they released another live album called Live at Eddie's Attic. It was released as a download only.
And according to everything I heard, it was actually recorded in a dude named Eddie's Attic.
It really was. No, okay. So no, I'm just East kidding. Asheville Hardware. Oh, no. Okay. I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it either. I'm sure it was a club called Eddie's Attic.
It's probably a club called Eddie's Attic, yeah.
I thought it was like his cousin Eddie let him borrow the attic.
It's a log cabin attic. What do you expect?
Just move the slides over, kiddo, and plug in.
In 2011, Mixtape 1979 to 1982 was released as a download-only album. David is a big proponent of Bandcamp, I noticed. Like, a lot of his stuff, his more recent stuff, you can pick up on Bandcamp, kind of embracing that even before I think he was on Amazon Digital or Apple Digital. Yeah. I think he was kind of doing that Bandcamp.
I really like his independent spirit, kind of like the, hey, A&M dropped me. I'm going on my own and you guys are going to follow me and you're going to love everything I do.
Exactly. Exactly. And then 2014, he released the album Blaze, and it's the most recent album that he's released. At least it will be until the spring of next year, 2018. He has plans to release an album. A couple of years ago, he started offering a service in which he writes custom songs for listeners in exchange for a fee. He elicits comments by phone from a buyer, and then he hones the words and music to fit that particular circumstance. So kind of a commissioned songwriting deal.
I feel like that's a Patreon goal of ours, is have him write a new theme song.
Have him. Oh, gotcha. Like, we, once we reach a certain level, we can have David Wilcox write the new Soundography theme.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I love it. Totally love that idea. Very cool. And that kind of wraps up. That brings us to the here and now, which is both here and now. Hammond, where, what can you tell me about his statistics and general notes?
So he has appeared on the cover of Acoustic Guitar magazine at least once. I think it may be even a couple times. Sure. And then in 2008, he was awarded the Silver Award along with Bob Dylan in acoustic guitar singer-songwriter category. So he's in pretty illustrious company. And once again, I kind of feel like I'm so glad we're doing this because I found something else new for me to listen to.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. This is a music that's definitely going to stay in my playlists, after this show. Like, I'm going to be listening to a lot of his stuff, especially the whole of East Asheville Hardware, which I feel like we've talked about this before, where it has to be a listen to the whole thing all at once, kind of like The Wall or Dark Side of the Moon or something like that. So when I rip that album, it's going to be as one track on each side or something like that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, that's a road trip album. The one that you stick in
when you want to
cover a lot of distance and not have to worry about changing or messing with the shuffle or anything like that. You just stick it on and enjoy it till it's over.
Yep. Without a doubt. Great comparison there. All right, let's get to Stairway to Heaven, basically the song that we know. If you're going to go see him in concert, this is exactly the one that you're going to want to hear him perform. Hammond, I want you to go first.
Well, I only picked one. I only made a list of one because it seemed pretty easy to me.
It's pretty obvious, yeah.
But I'll throw in, I mean, he's got things on that East Asheville Hardware album that I'd love to hear every time I saw him play. Some of it, like Boob Job, Mango. what's the other one on there?
Johnny's Camaro.
Yeah, I think would be Roadside Art. I mean, there are tons of things that I would love to hear him do every time. But the best part about someone like him is he's always got a story to tell. Yes. So having new songs isn't the same as new songs on a different kind of artist, because you want to hear new stories that this guy's going to tell. He's giving you a slice of it's a different kind of music. So therefore it's not the same if you know all the words. It's not the same if it's that recognizable tune that everyone stands up and cheers for, because everything's going to be, I mean, all of it is, you know, this unique slice of his life to set to music.
Right.
So I picked Eye of the Hurricane.
Yeah, it's an obvious one. It's an obvious choice.
It's called a hurricane. She told me once it's quite a ride. It's shaped so there's this place inside where if you're moving, you can hide safe within the rain. She wants to run away.
Now, here's the thing. Apparently, David Wilcox fans are not fans of setlist.fm because only a handful of his shows have been actually entered in to setlist.fm to kind of say what's, you know, what he performed. There's seven or six songs that are listed as played twice.
Oh my gosh.
A ton of them that are listed as played once, because I think there's only two set lists that somebody, that people have entered. So he did perform. It is sad, because this would have been a really good one to see what else he does. But Eye of the Hurricane is obviously among the top, as well as Start with the Ending, Farthest Shore, Rule Number One, love that song, Grateful for Her Beauty, and Rusty Old American Dream. Yeah, it's a bummer. I would have liked to have actually seen some real numbers in here. It's funny, because when you do the search for David Wilcox, you run into the same thing where there's the other David Wilcox that shows up. Let me pull him up just out of curiosity. I wonder if somebody's accidentally entered in American David Wilcox stuff into.
It's a whole new battle of North and South right there.
It is. Yeah, because I'm looking at this and it sounds like Bad Apple, Riverboat Fantasy, Do the Bearcat, Layin' Pipe, Cheap Beer Joint. These are all Canadian blues. Well, it's funny. These are all Canadian blues David Wilcox performances. However, the 33rd song on the list is Eye of the Hurricane. So so apparently people just aren't paying attention.
He really is covering it and he's getting cheeky about it.
Right. Right. That's funny. There's apparently four David Wilcoxes listed in setlist.fm. Canadian musician, American folk singer. Then there's David Wilcox, the artist, and David Wilcox, artist meaning artwork, and David Wilcox, the contributor to This American Life. And I'm curious. Yeah, there's no information about that, David Wilcox. I think we're just going to have to say that I have the Hurricanes, the obvious choice, but it would have been really cool to be able to see what number two and number three and, the rest of the top 10 would have been. We'll never know, Hammond. We'll never know.
Unless one of us talks to him at some point.
Yeah. I wonder if either of us have plans to talk to him. Are you going to talk about that?
Maybe. Well, okay. So during the listening of this, this week, I actually liked it so much that I found his website, reached out, and in March, probably March or April, there's a really strong, better than average chance he's going to be on Beyond the Playlist.
That's awesome. I'm really, really looking forward to hearing that one. I look forward to your shows, but hearing a musician that we just listened to the entire catalog of is really, really excites me, because all that stuff is fresh in my mind. When he's talking about certain songs, I'll know exactly which ones he's referring to. It's going to be a really good show.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. I've got it on my calendar to make sure, try to push that to make sure it pans out.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's talk about who we'd like to see them cover, who we'd like to hear David Wilcox cover. And I'm more general, so I'm going to let you go first while I narrow mine down a little bit.
Okay, I'm only going to reach back actually a couple of episodes of Soundography, and he has this kind of religious tone to him sometimes. Definitely has his own set of, his faith and sacred stuff that he does. And I'm thinking, I went back just a little bit and realized we just covered a band that did this, and I'd love to hear him do a King's X cover, something like Summerland or Over My Head. I would just love to see him strip all of the King's X noise out of that and leave it with just a melody and him telling one of their stories.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool. That would be really cool. My pick is, it came from kind of what we were talking about earlier about how his getting onto the 1994 Billboard folk charts, among all that grunge and all that dance music and all that R&B that were so different from what he was doing, made me think, how cool would it be to hear him do grunge? And I would honestly, I'd pay $100 just for him to do a grunge album, like do covers of Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam.
Can you imagine him doing Black Hole Sun?
See, that'd be a great one. But the one that I settled on, because I was thinking about all that stuff, the one that I settled on was Nirvana's Lithium, because I can actually hear him doing the vocals and doing the guitar and stuff. And It's why I'm so happy because today I found my friend. You know, you just hear him doing it. You can just hear it. And I think it'd be really cool. Stripped down.
That's a really good choice.
Yeah. How much would it cost to make him do
it? I don't know. I didn't look at the pricing on the website.
What's his commission song? be cool. Would be very cool. All right. Well, that song isn't in our playlist, sadly, but we do have songs in our playlist that do exist, that are real, that you can actually touch and hold in your hand and push into your ears. We'll start, as we normally do, with me going for my five songs because I'm the one who introduces this segment, so I get to go first. First song is going to be an obvious one. It's from the Big Horizon album, and it's a cover. It's Missing You.
Thinking about you, and it's almost driving me wild. There's a heart that's breaking down this long distance line tonight. I ain't missing you at all. Since you've been.
And it's the John Waite tune. It's My Heart That's Breaking Down This Long Distance Line Tonight. And it's a really good cover of his. He does have a female vocalist. I don't know if it's Nance doing the female vocals in that, but it certainly could be. It's in her register, so it seems like it's possible. But it's a good rendition, and it shows that he's no stranger to cover songs. He's not anti-cover songs. There's not many in his list, you know, just a couple that we've mentioned, like Missing You and Blow 'Em Away, which is a great song, but which means he's due. He's due for a cover album, and so we need to make him look at the grunge stuff that I'm suggesting as a possible solution. Number two also comes from the Big Horizon album. I really like that album, by the way. Block Dawn.
In the winter, there's lots of houses down this street. Summertime, he'll catch your frisbee to beg the best of your dinner meat. I had a long talk with the block dog all summer. Runs with the kids. He's happy as a block dog.
And which I thought initially was a typo, and I thought, oh my God, he's doing a Led Zeppelin cover. That's going to be awesome. But it isn't.
You really are the perfect example of if you're a hammer, then everything looks like a nail.
It really is. Exactly. It's like, oh, I bet that's supposed to be Black Dog, and I'll bet it's a Led Zeppelin cover. Because whatever, whoever heard of something called a block dog?
Yeah. Well, rule number one. Oh my gosh, it's a Three Dog Night.
It's rule number one is the loneliest. Yeah, okay. I gotcha. Block Dog is about exactly that, a neighborhood stray dog. And David kind of compares his life to his and just that freewheeling, being able to run around and do whatever you want, and how the dog, you know, he perceives the dog as telling him, oh, man, I'm living the life. This is exactly what, you know, the way we should all be living is just running around and doing whatever we want when we want to do it.
He does a lot of the storytelling where he compares real life with something else.
Totally.
He's done that a ton, and I love him doing that.
Yeah, comparing objects that can't talk and giving them the life and giving them a voice and talking about what they would say if they could. No doubt. And you're going to hear another one of those here in my set in a second. I mentioned rule number one. That one comes from the Whispered album, Something Whispered.
Easy to smile, except when the service was slow. Then he was cruel, suddenly mean, not like the man you know. If he's rude to the waiter and it makes your heart confused, well, this is lesson number one.
And it's about, it's a song sung of the point of view of giving advice to a woman who's on a first date. She's got the stars in her eyes and she's like thinking, oh, could this guy be the one? And he's being so sweet and his eyes sparkle in the candlelight and all that stuff. And then he's the dinner comes out a little bit slow at the restaurant and he's rude to the waiter. Wilcox is just saying, don't walk, run, get out of there. Yep. Rule number one, if he's rude to the waiter, run.
Yep.
It's the best lyrics ever. I love that song.
It reminded me of Kevin Gilbert's song, Something Nice for My Dog.
Okay.
Where he's talking about this girl who was mean to the dog.
Oh, right.
And he ended the relationship because she was mean to the dog.
Yeah, it's justified. Absolutely.
Yep.
Totally justified. I could hear Jonathan Colton doing that song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
I can hear Jonathan Colton doing a lot of these songs.
Yeah, I bet Joko's I'll bet Joko's a fan of David Wilcox. I'd be surprised if he isn't. They're cut from the same cloth. The next one is This Old Car. This one comes from the album Airstream.
Repairs to do, but I've got this life of tales to tell. A tiny babe came home one day through newly fallen snow. They brought you home.
You listen to it again, it's lyrics for me, 100% with all of these songs. And this is about the car, but more about the child he raised whose place was always in the backseat of that car everywhere they went, and who was finally old enough to drive the car, and so they never, you know, didn't see him as much. And it's just such a tearjerker of a song, and even like talking about it, get a little choked up. It's just
That's because the little boy who sat in the back of your car and now old enough to drive is old enough to not be around so much.
Totally is.
It's that's a real Cats in the Cradle song.
It absolutely is. Yeah. Fortunately, it's not a, I was never around. Now my son's never around. at least it's not that.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. All right. Number five song is Captain Wanker. It's from the Open Hand album.
Superheroes do. Captain Wanker is so debonair, cutting through a crowd of people like he just don't care. He ducks into a nearby phone booth and he just stays in there. A skin tight suit, try to hide it. A skin tight suit, stuck inside it. A skin tight
suit. From 2009. It's just a really funny story about a guy who walks around in a skin tight tracksuit. And I feel like, of all the songs that I want to know if there's a story behind it, I want to know if there's a story behind this, because there had to be a dude running around looking like this that he said, God, look at that Captain Wanker.
Yeah.
And I'll write a song about him.
Yep.
So in March, if you get a chance to talk to him, ask him if there's a real Captain Wanker.
Okay, I can. So I picked number one, Leave It Like It Is, from the How Did You Find Me?
Bright blue glossy enamel across the kitchen floor. You said, good God, look at that pattern. I've never seen that before. Leave it like it is. Never mind the turpentine. Just leave it like it is.
I put this in there like the day I started notes. Just to claim it, because I figured you might have.
Right. I might have if you hadn't.
And I love the way he delivers the story, how simple the music is under it, and how powerful the story is. And it's such a great piece of music. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, when I first heard, this is off the first album or one of the first things I listened to. And I have to tell you that I settled in and going, okay, I'm really looking forward to the rest of this week.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's just about how art has different perceptions, or people have different perceptions of art, and what is somebody's gorgeous masterpiece might just be a can of blue paint that spilled on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, as soon as I realized what I was getting into, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to dig this week.
For sure.
Then I picked, Top of the Roller Coaster from Home Again.
So let me ride in the front car. You ride right behind, and I'll flick my snapshot camera at exactly the right time. Shoot back over my shoulder, catch the fear no one can.
I love the sparse arrangement and the fun with the rhythm and the lyrics that he has, and just the idea of comparing life to a roller coaster and that excitement and that anticipation.
Mm. Cool.
And then I picked Roadside Art from East Asheville Hardware. This is a great song. I don't even know how to describe it other than when I heard this, I laughed, stopped it, redid it, and laughed again.
Yeah.
Poor man, but I found a better way. I just built myself a sculpture, a monument to Chevrolet. And now I've got a gallery where my front yard used to lay. I'm working on a 49 Ford,
I'm so glad you feel the same way about East Asheville Hardware as I do.
It's a great album, and it's one where I'd say, you know, don't skip over the stories behind the songs, because mm-hmm. they're, don't just go, all right, let's get to the next song. It's like, no, you got to hear the stories, and the stories set up these songs so beautifully.
Yep.
The Mango song, for example.
Oh yeah, Mango is awesome. That was a perfect setup for that song.
Yeah, totally was.
And then I pick Spin from Turning Point. This is almost a blues song, and it rides that line between folk and blues really well. I could hear it going into like a ZZ Top song almost, but he doesn't. He straddles that line so well, and it has just the right feel of folk, but it also starts to slide into that blues territory quite a bit, and I really, really enjoyed that line that he walked on it.
Yeah.
And the last one I picked was Sex and Music from Underneath. Let's see, what's it called? Underneath, where is it? Oh, from 1999's Underneath.
Well, at first you say you'll just do it for love, but then you do it with friends, right? As soon as you do it for money, right there's where the innocence ends.
I mostly picked it for the title, but I really liked the funky rhythm and the delivery was super cool. And he draws that line again, drawing that line between performing music and quote unquote performing.
Yeah. And I heard this one and said, oh man, this is very Toy Matinee. Like right down to, I'm not even gonna say it's very Kevin Gilbert. It's just very Toy Matinee, that drum beat and that the bass line and stuff like that could easily have heard them do that song. I know it's funny how often Kevin Gilbert's name comes up in these shows, but and I think it's more than just that's kind of our the genesis of where you and I started talking to each other about music. It just in this case for sure sounded like that to me.
Yeah, we're a couple weeks in a row now where he's come up because he came up very heavily with Slovak's Beard, but yeah. This is more of a similarity, and I think it has more to do with Kevin's skill as a singer, songwriter, storyteller, that we're able to find comparisons in other really good singer, songwriter, storytellers.
I think so. Yeah, I think so for sure. And I'm pretty sure that Kevin Gilbert's name is not going to come up in the next episode. I feel pretty confident.
Well, I didn't mention Dream Theater. Oh, crap.
Oh, too late. Now you've done it. Oh, take a drink, everybody. That is going to do it, though, for our discussion about David Wilcox. Hopefully we've done for you what Peter did for us, which is get you into a new artist that maybe you were only aware of a song or two by, and maybe help you discover some of his stuff. You know, go start with East Asheville Hardware. Go listen to Eye of the Hurricane, and then go listen to East Asheville Hardware, because the whole album in one sitting, because it is a great album from start to finish. Let's talk about our next episode, because it's it, right? I mean, we're getting to the end of season three, and if I'm promising that we're not going to talk about Kevin Gilbert in the next episode, by golly, it's not going to happen if we're talking about the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, I don't think I can even bring up Dream Theater.
We'll see. We'll see. Somehow you find a way. Life always finds a way. That's right. Our next episode next week is going to be about the Beastie Boys. So tune in for that. And then Hammond and I take a break for a few weeks and figure out the next season, what we're going to do in season four. If you want to be part of that, there's a really easy way to do that. Join our Patreon. Become a Patreon supporter. All you have to do is be in that top level of Patreon support. And you get to be our executive producer for an episode. You get to tell us who we're going to listen to, and we're going to have to do it. We must obey. So become a patron.
Within reason. Watch that must obey stuff. Within reason.
Within reason. But I don't know. I mean, I've said this before. Even if somebody were to choose Nickelback, I think we'd have to do it.
Oh, yeah. Because, again, you need to understand the source material before you can make good jokes.
Sure. William Shatner, would we do it?
He's only got, what, one album?
No, he's got way more.
Well, how about that Vincent? How about that? Who was it? Vincent Price heavy metal album that came out. Vincent Price.
Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee heavy metal album that came out just right before he passed away.
Yeah, I'd totally listen to that. Yeah. And he's got other albums as well. Yeah. He does a cover of MacArthur Park on a really early '70s album. So, like I said, maybe not Mrs. Miller. I don't think we could do Mrs. Miller.
Oh yeah, but yeah, maybe the Mike Tyson cover album.
If only. Quit teasing me, Hammond, because you know I wish that were a real thing. You know I'd beg for that to happen. Anyway.
Have him do Papa Don't Preach.
Support the show. What's that?
Have him do Papa Don't Preach.
Anything. Have him do anything. I'm in 100%. Even if you're not going to be one of our executive producer level patrons, become a patron, help support the show, even if it's a buck or two a month. You can even say, this is the max I want to support these guys every month, and it'll stick to that. So do that, please. That's patreon.com/soundography. If you want to email us, soundographypodcast@gmail.com is the email address to use. Twitter, @TheSoundography. That's how you can follow us. That's how you can send us messages, reply, and like the things we say. I don't know if we say a lot, but we say things. Soundography.com, of course, the website where you'll find this episode as well as every other episode we've ever done. For each episode, you'll find our show notes as brief as they are, but you'll also find our link to an album on Amazon that we highly recommend. Sometimes it's the greatest hits. Sometimes it's a live album that they recorded in front of a hardware store. I don't know. It'll be a mystery as to which one it is for this one. You'll also find our Spotify link containing all of the songs that we talk about in our playlists, if they're available as such. And then you'll find a place where you can comment there as well. Leave us notes. Let us know what you think of all that stuff. And of course, leave us reviews wherever you want to leave us reviews, whether it's on iTunes or Amazon or wherever. We always want to hear what you think of the show, what you connect with, what you don't connect with. And we're excited to hear what you think of this season, as well as when we announce what's going to be in the next season, which we will do to our patrons. What? Yep, you got to be a patron. So so do that. Become one. Hammond, I think that's it, right? Anything else before we leave? Leave it like this?
No, I think we're good. I really want to thank Peter for having us for do this week. This? Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's two for two, so... He's hinted at other things, but right now he's two for two.
We'd almost don't want him to choose another one because it'll blow his perfect record. Right? Maybe not, but maybe. Just kidding. That is going to do it for this edition of Soundography. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying we'll see you next time right here for Soundography.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.